Would you turn with me, please, to our scripture reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. As you're finding your place, I'd like to thank the Reverend Martin and Dr. Douglas for their words of welcome along to the Harvest Thanksgiving service here in Lisburn. It's a great joy to be with you, and it's a great encouragement to look out and see so many gathered in for the worship of God on this Sabbath evening. Very pleased also on behalf of the Annalong congregation to thank you for the lend of your minister over the past week and in the will of God in the 2 weeks that lie ahead in our first gospel mission up in the new building in Annalong. The Lord certainly has been blessing in a wonderful way. It has been a very special time of gospel campaigning, and the Lord has been in the midst. His presence has been felt night by night. God has been blessing His word, and there have been a number who profess faith in Christ. There are those that are still coming to the meetings who are not saved and outside of Christ and without the Saviour. And you pray that ere the 2 weeks come to a conclusion, that we'll see a further great move of God in the saving of those precious souls for the glory of God. I would like to direct your thoughts tonight to the words of verse 30 of Matthew 13. The final instructions of the Master of the Harvest. Matthew 13 and verse 30, the latter part of the text. Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Those final words. Gather the wheat into my barn. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer, please, with the word of God open and read before us. Let us pray. We thank Thee, our Father, for this place that Thou hast set aside for the worship of God. We thank Thee tonight for all that has gone before and for the sense of God's presence in the midst. And now as we come to the word of the Lord this evening, I pray that Thou will be pleased to take up the sword of truth, and that by the Spirit of God that Thou wilt apply it in a saving manner to hearts and to lives, and that Thou wilt even be pleased to use it to bring glory and honour to our Saviour, Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant unto me the help of God the Holy Spirit this evening. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart find acceptance in Thy sight. And may the word which Thou hast given fall on that good ground which Thou hast prepared, and may it bring forth fruit unto life eternal. For it is in Jesus' dear name I pray. Amen. We meet together this evening to give thanks to God for His grace and mercy once again in supplying us with another harvest season. And it is with a spirit of gratitude, and it is with a spirit of humility, that we praise Him once again for the harvest home. Year upon year, such services come and go right across the length and breadth of our province. And alas, there are multitudes that take the meaning of the services for granted. But brethren and sisters, there is a day coming. And there is a day coming very soon, when God will usher in the final harvest home. The Lord Jesus Christ referred to it in the parable which we have read together this evening of the wheat and the tares from verse 24 to 30. And then in verse 36 to 43 we have the interpretation that the Lord gave to it, which helps us to understand the meaning of it. The sower is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the master of the of the field, he uses only the best seed. And wherever biblical truth is preached tonight, wherever grace is implanted in hearts and in lives, wherever souls are sanctified and led on with God and the kingdom extended, it's all due to Christ and his sowing. He is the great sower. The place of this sowing is here in this world. Why? Because the field is his world. And all over this world, directly and indirectly, even as we're meeting here tonight, others are just starting off their Sabbath day, and the word of God is being sown right across the world tonight. The good seed represents the children of his kingdom. Why? Because they have his life abiding in them, and they bring forth fruit unto life eternal. The tares, they represent the children of Satan, the enemy who sowed them being the devil himself. Satan is the ancient foe of Christ and his people. And not only does he desire to ruin the seed that is sown by Christ, but he aims to control even the field in which that seed is sown. Satan has one objective tonight, and that is world domination. And if the tares which he sows in the field can ruin the seed that Christ has sown, then the field shall be his. Verse 39 tells us, however, that there's going to be a harvest at the end of the world. God, one day, is going to draw a line of differentiation. And the Bible tells us that God shall send forth his reapers. We've been reading their final instructions. Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. These words reassure us tonight that Satan's objective shall not be fulfilled. God is going to have a final harvest home. And on that final judgment day, his reapers, they're going to gather the wheat into the barn. There's going to be a gathering. And on that day, when the final gathering, the final harvest is brought in, the great conflict of the ages will be over. And the word of God assures us that God's harvest will be safely gathered in. I would like, as we come to the word of God this evening, to consider this wonderful phrase with you. The final words of Christ prior to that final moment. And his concern is what? His concern is for the seed which he has sown. None of it must be lost. The instruction is clear and simple. After the tares have been dealt with, the thought of Christ is on his own seed. Those who are his wheat. And he says, gather the wheat into my barn. I trust that our meditation this evening will be an encouragement to every believer and a challenge to every unsaved soul. I know there are many non-Christians who come to these services year by year here in Lisburn and in, I would say, every one of our sister congregations. And yet, alas, the spiritual significance seems to have no bearing upon their souls or have any spiritual impact upon their lives. And let me put it to you once again tonight. If God has a special care about his wheat and none of the wheat is going to be lost, what about you who are the tares? What solemn truths are in this parable for us to ponder tonight? Let me suggest to you, first of all, that these final instructions of Christ, they tell us something about the separation of the saved. For now, on this side of eternity, the wheat and the tares, they grow together. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. And it has well been a question that has perplexed many deep-thinking minds. Why should the Lord allow it to be so? Why should the Lord allow evil men to spring up? Why should the Lord allow the tares to grow in the very vicinity of the wheat? Many have been the suggestions would give an answer, but all we can say tonight is that God has so ordered it in His wise and all-loving providence. He's the great sovereign ruler of all, and He orders all things after the counsel of His own will, and there's none can say unto Him, "What doest thou?" And God has left it so that the good and the bad will be so intermixed in this world right to the very last day. The good have to be exercised spiritually, and the bad have to be left inexcusable. And on that great day, God is going to make a definitive difference between the saved and the unsaved. And there's going to be a difference for all of us for now and eternity between heaven and earth. And God has His own wise reasons for leaving it so. But right up to the last day, when God will send His reapers to gather in His harvest home, the tares and the wheat, they're going to be growing right there in the fields, side by side. I think as Christians, this helps us to keep our life in perspective. There are many Christians talk as if they have arrived in glory already. But brethren and sisters, we're not in glory yet. We're assured of it, but we haven't arrived in it. And all around us are the tares that Satan has sown. And all around us is the evil influence of this world that we live in. And offences must needs come through the tares. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 reminds us, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." There is no shortcut to the process. Many have tried to escape from this world, but they find it impossible. There is nowhere you can go in the world that you'll not find tares growing. Our forefathers, the Pilgrim Fathers, they thought if they sailed to America, they could escape the tares that were here in the British Isles. And so they set sail. And they went over to America and they tried to plant colonies in America. And the idea was that they would plant such a godly society and environment that the tares wouldn't grow. But it didn't work out like that. And very soon within those colonies that they planted, they find, try hard as they would, that the tares would spring up. Until we get to glory, we're going to have to battle with that evil that's all round about us. The tares that are in the field. But you know, in mercy, dear unsaved one, God has a purpose in that. Because God has placed you right beside the wheat. God has placed you right beside someone, perhaps at work, who's a Christian. God has placed you in the home where there's a Christian influence. God has placed you at school or at college or at university, and there's a Christian there, and they are the influence for Christ upon your life. And it would be hard here in this little province of Ulster to go anywhere without meeting a Christian at least who's an influence for Christ. We can't escape the tares, but the reverse is also true, and we should look on it as a positive influence for Christ. The tares can't escape where the wheat grows either. And brethren and sisters, God has placed you and I here so that we might be a witness for Christ in this world, that we might bear forth His word and bear forth His name and bear forth His truth. The day is hastening on, however, when the tares and the wheat will be separated. If they're united here, there's a day coming when they're not going to be united. The wise owner of the field first declared in verse 29 that the tares were not to be uprooted prematurely, just in case the wheat would be damaged in the process. And that's the great problem with weeds. And that's the great problem with the tares, because over the centuries, much good wheat has been destroyed or damaged, at least by the tares. There are those who believe that the tares of which Christ spoke of in this parable were the weed which was called the bearded darnel. This was a poisonous weed.
But in the early stages of growth, it was hard to tell the difference between it and the real wheat. Dr. Thompson, in his commentary, says concerning it, even the farmers who in Palestine generally weed their fields do not pretend to distinguish the one from the other. They would not only mistake good grain for tares, but very commonly the roots of the two are so intertwined that it's impossible to separate them without plucking out both. And so what was the solution? Well, the wise master of the field knew that such weeds would show their true fruit soon enough. If at the early stages they couldn't, that the difference could not be told between them, there would come a stage when the heads of the plants would be totally different, and then they would be harvested. So the instruction was given, let them grow until the harvest time. Let them grow until the time has come when my wheat has to be gathered into the barn. The tares which are in the field undoubtedly try to damage the wheat. They squeeze the good seed for space. The devil always wants to outplace you, dear brother and sister. He never wants you to stand in your position or to take your stand upon your piece of ground. He'll always want to take it over from you. They try to hinder the growth and the development of the wheat. We have that image of the parable that Jesus told of the sower, and we think of how the very weeds that were sown, they choke the good seed, and soon it dries up. And then they try to stop the wheat from reaching its full potential and reaching its full growth. And that has always been the case, right from the Garden of Eden. The seed of the serpent will always try to damage the seed of the woman. And this has been achieved by many ways, laying temptations, persecutions of all sorts. This is the objective of the seed of the serpent, to destroy Christ's seed and its fruitfulness. However, God could never allow this to continue in the world which is to come. For in heaven there will be no tares. In heaven there will be no sin. In heaven there will be nothing that will hinder our relationship with God. There's a day of separation coming when we'll leave the tares behind and when God will gather us in. The saved and the unsaved live together here, but they'll not live in the world which is to come. There's going to be a separation. As I read the Word of God, I find it's going to be a separation of the closest, intimate kind. Jesus said in Luke 17, 35, 36, two women shall be grinding together. This is a work that takes a couple to do it. It's a work in which one is dependent upon the other to do it. But on that day, the one will be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, but on that day, the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. There's a day of separation. A day is going to divide families. A day is going to divide Lisburn congregation. God's going to divide this congregation one day. He's going to sift it as no oversight could ever sift it. And he's going to separate the wheat from the tares. And that day of separation will come at God's harvest home. This separation leads to two destinies. We cannot speak about the wheat being gathered without warning what happens to tares. The tares were to be gathered. The instruction was that the tares were not only to be gathered, but they were to be put into bundles, plural. Sinners of the same sort were to be put into the same type of bundles to face the judgment. I like the very up comment of Matthew Henry. He says, sinners of the same sort will be bundled together in that great day. A bundle of atheists, a bundle of Epicureans, a bundle of persecutors, a bundle of hypocrites. And those who have been associates in sin will be so in shame and sorrow, and it will be an aggravation of their misery, as the society of glorified saints will add to their bliss.
Can you imagine a bundle of drunkards ending up in hell for all of eternity, with no one to ease their thirst? Can you imagine what it will be like? There are those who try to paint the picture that it's going to be one big party. It'll be no big party, men and women. There'll be no merit in going to hell with sinners of the same sort. It'll only add to your misery. Once bundled together, the Bible tells us the tares were only fit for the fire. If the Lord connects the judgment of the ungodly with being cast into fire, well, should not every unsaved soul take heed in our meeting tonight? You're heading out into a lost sinner's hell, and verse 42 says, it's a furnace of fire. As a boy, I used to watch them after the harvest, and they used to take the remnant of that which was put through the thresher, and they made a huge bonfire, and as children, we had a great time with it, as we saw it go up in flames, and then smoulder down into smoke, and just sit there. But it only took a few minutes, and it was all over. But this fire doesn't go out. And it'll never be over. Verse 42 tells us it'll be a place where there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now the ungodly have used that phrase and mocked and ridiculed it in years gone by. But here is a wailing not only connected with the awful pain of hell, but here is a wailing connected with a conscience that cannot be consoled or comforted. And if you die impenitent and you die in your sin, you will wail, my dear friend, that you heard the gospel so often preached in Lisburn congregation and in other places and did nothing about it. And you'll never be consoled because you've missed it. There's no coming back. This judgment is as long as God is, and God is eternal. You can hide in the church with a false profession. You can sit tonight and look like the wheat. You can grow up with the wheat. Your roots can be so intertwined with other Christians that it would be near impossible for someone from the outside to tell the difference. But God knows the difference tonight. And you can't hide either in this congregation. Don't be satisfied with taking the name of wheat without having the nature of the wheat. An outward profession is nothing. An outward compliance is nothing if it's not accompanied by a new work of grace in the heart and life. Make sure tonight you're God's seed and you're part of God's planting. Secondly, let me suggest that these final instructions of Christ, they tell us about this congregation of the saved. Our text tells us that they're going to be congregated together, or gathered together. We talk about the congregation, or the gathering of the people, and this is a congregation equal to no other congregation that has ever been witnessed in the history of the church. The task of congregating the saved shall be given to the angelic reapers. Verse 39. You ask, how do these angels know who belong to the Lord? How can they be sure which are the tares and which are the wheat? Well, I believe they know the elect. And they're sent by God to gather them. Matthew 24:31 tells us, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. They wouldn't be able to gather them unless they know them. And none of the wheat will be overlooked, not one of them.
There are many Christians, and oftentimes they feel aggrieved because they've been overlooked by this one or that one. Perhaps it's so, perhaps it's just something in their own thinking or in their own imagination, but you'll not be overlooked on that day. And let me add, none of the tares will be mistaken for the wheat. These reapers know their job, and they do it with an efficiency unknown to mankind. Men can and men do make mistakes in their judgments. And miscarriages of justice are more and more common. Or maybe we should say it, more and more highlighted in the media. Perhaps not any more common than they ever were. But on the great day of harvest, there will be no mistakes. God's servant will bring every unsaved soul to judgment and every saved soul safely to God. This congregation will be brought together in a very regulated manner. God is a God of order. Right from the very first dawn of creation, right to the very last day, God is a God of order, and everything about God is regulated and in order. The tares will be gathered out. The reapers, and their primary work, remember, is to gather in the corn. They're first charged to gather out the tares. They shall gather out of his kingdom all wicked things that offend and all wicked persons that do iniquity. And when he begins, he'll make a full end. They shall be gathered out and they'll be brought to judgment. And every corruption will be judged. Those who have preached false doctrine and false religion will be judged. Every practice contrary to the law of God will be condemned on that day by Christ the righteous judge. And just let us reassure ourselves again tonight. We might look out in this world and we might think it's in a state of chaos, but it's not. God has a plan for this world, and every day God's plan is being fulfilled. And each day it's bringing it to its final fulfillment. And though it's not plain to us, all over the world, in every country, in every part of this world, God is so regulating all of the events that he's ushering in the judgment. The final instructions are soon going to be given. Gather ye together first the tares. They're prepared unto the judgment, and then the wheat are gathered in. And nothing will prevent the process. God is going to send his reapers to take out the tares. This congregation is going to be brought together from great distances. We've been reading from Matthew 24:31. It says that the elect will be gathered from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is a very graphic expression. From every part of the world, they're going to be gathered in. The wheat, the redeemed of the Lord, they're going to be gathered from every continent. They'll be there from Europe. They'll be there from Asia. They'll be there from Africa. They'll be there from America. They'll all be gathered in on that day. Not one of them will be overlooked. Turn over with me briefly to Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. Revelation 7 and 9. We read here, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. Not an amazing statement. Man was all of the gadgetry that is to his hand today. He still can't put a number on the number of the elect. No man can number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. And they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. As Dr. Douglas said in his reading of the scriptures, it is beyond our finite comprehension to understand fully what that day is going to be like. What a congregation that's going to be. It's going to be a congregation of many colors. All nations are going to be there. All nations, many colors. It's going to be one of many characteristics. It's going to be one that represents many different countries, tribes and cultures. But what unites them all together is this: they're all wheat. They're his wheat. They're his seed. They're his children forevermore. We live in a day and age of great uncertainty. And there are many doomsday predictions right across the world. What will happen next? But we can take heed and we can take heart. We can take heed that God is ordering the end. It's coming to a conclusion in an ordered fashion. And we can take heart that God has a particular care of his people as the end draws nigh. And one day he's going to bring all of his people. Now I want you to think on that. All of his people physically together in one congregation. All of them in one congregation. That is going to be a gathering. Millions who have loved the Lord from every part in one great company. This congregation is going to represent every section of society. The gospel of Christ will win some from every walk of life. There will be those in high society, and they'll be there because they've named the name of the Lord. There will be those from the slums, destitute according to the material things of this world, but joint heirs with Christ according to the grace of God, and they'll be there. Over the years, it has been a great privilege to me and in my own life to take the gospel to high and low. It has been my joy to go into the slums and to preach that message to people who don't even know where their next meal is coming from, and to see God call some. And it's been my joy to preach that message to those who have everything that they could ever want in this world, and to see God call some. High and low, rich and poor, educated, uneducated. What an amazing congregation. What an amazing gathering it's going to be. This congregation is going to come from all ages. It's not just going to be the end time generation which is going to be represented, although that will be a great number in itself. The statisticians tell us on this planet Earth tonight on which we live, there are more people alive today on the Earth than probably the whole accumulated population of the world in its collective history. And that figure is rising. And that's why the harvest fields, they're vast and they're white and they're ready unto harvest. And that's why in the last days there's going to be a great ingathering, because there is a great harvest field out there. But not just from the last generation. God is going to gather the saints of all generations to that day. And right back to the gate of Eden. Right back to our first parents. God is going to bring them. All of the Old Testament saints, all of the New Testament saints, right to the very last one, bought with the blood of Christ, are going to be in that congregation. I find it now impossible just to get the picture, but what a picture it is. The wheat are going to be gathered, and it's going to be the greatest congregation this world has ever seen. And if you know not Christ as your Savior, no matter how close you have lived to the congregations of God's people here on earth, you'll not be there. You'll have been gathered out first of all, and you will have been bundled with the tares and reserved unto the judgment. Oh, the Lord calls you tonight. Tonight is another time of opportunity, another time of grace, another time of closing in with his offer of mercy. The Lord calls you tonight not to miss the opportunity to close in with Christ, not to waste another harvest season, but to make sure that when that gathering, when that congregation is brought together, that you will be there. I want you to see in closing tonight that these
final instructions given to the reapers. They tell us about the destination of the saved. He said, gather the wheat into my barn. They shall be gathered into one barn. There is only one heaven. And there is only one heaven for the one people of God who know and love the Lord. There's not a heaven for some and a different heaven for others. The whole culmination of God's redemptive plan is that the wheat be gathered together into one barn, into one destination. We live in a day and age of many divisions amongst the Lord's own dear people. And there are those who profess to love the Saviour, and they're not even on speaking terms with those in their own assembly, never mind with those outside of their own assembly. Let us realize afresh, you might have a difference with a brother, with a sister, over a particular matter. But just you remember, they're as much the Lord's as you belong to the Lord. They're as much the wheat as you are the wheat. And we're going to share eternity with them. What a gathering that is going to be. The process of this ingathering is, of course, an ongoing one. It's not just a judgment day one. Every hour, every minute, right across the world, saints are being gathered for heaven. All across the world, death is ushering those who know the Lord out into eternity, out into that great barn. And God's people are going home. Some are called whilst in tender years, but they're still called home. Others are called in maturity. Others are called in old age, but the process is still the same. God is gathering his people home. Every day, every hour, right across the world, God is gathering them in. I have no doubt that there were some who sat here last year who have been called home to heaven in the intervening year and are not here tonight. And barring the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, there shall be some whom he will call this year. These yearly harvest meetings, they remind us not only do the seasons pass away, but Christians pass away too. But we're going home. And as the people of God, we need to live day by day with eternity in view. This barn was a place of security. The harvest was safely gathered in. The elements couldn't do the wheat any more harm. And there the wheat was secured for the master's use for the season that lay ahead. It's a lovely picture of heaven. Because God is gathering his people home. The ongoing process. And on that great last day, God is gathering them home. And they're being secured in the eternal home for the master's use. What a wonderful picture of heaven. For in heaven there's nothing going to hurt the redeemed of God. No more tears, no more death, no more sighing, no more sorrow. God has shut the wheat in, safe and secure. I want you to notice the designation. Look at the little pronoun that's used. And this is what makes all the difference. Jesus said, my barn. It's his special place. This is Christ's desire for his people, that they be with him. It was his desire from eternity. And it is his desire that in eternity, that his people might share Emmanuel's land with him. In the great high priestly prayer in John 17:24, he prayed, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Our prayer is going to be answered. Our prayer is being answered. and it will be on that great day. The final words, gather them into my barn. As the devil's work to destroy and to scatter. And that's what the devil is good at. He's good at destroying the souls of men and women. He's good at scattering them. But it's the work of the Lord to save souls and to gather them in. And I'm glad he's willing tonight to gather you in. The royal invitation still stands. He says, come unto me. I'll gather you in. I'll not turn you away. Will you make this harvest home to be the place where you'll be gathered in? Where you'll look back and you'll be able to say about this harvest Thanksgiving weekend here in Lisburn in the year 2006 that was the time that I was gathered in. These final instructions one day are going to be issued. And they're going to be fully implemented. May the Lord gather you in before they're uttered. And from this Lisburn congregation and from the witness of it, may there be a great number on that day who name his name and are part of his harvest home. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray.